And our next guest is the president of the Connecticut Funeral Directors Association. And I got to tell you, folks, before we bring him on, we had a number of calls. We've even spoken about this, I think maybe earlier in the week. I know we have, at least last week or the week before, is funerals. I got to tell you, on a personal level, I probably had two or three people who had passed away in the last few months, or a couple of months, maybe it's more accurate, who normally would have had a wake that I would have attended. But to my knowledge, and I told the family, I said, keep me posted on the arrangements. And I never heard from them. So this is probably the best person, I would think, that we can talk about this with. It is, let's bring him on now, Alexander Scott. Alexander, good morning.
Good morning, Gary. How are you?
Not bad. How about yourself?
Wonderful. Thank you for having me today.
It's an absolute pleasure. I don't even know where to begin. Now, maybe I'll start with the dilemma that I was just, the scenario I was just mentioning.
Right.
So people, obviously, they're going to continue to die, whether it's hopefully not from the coronavirus and it's just natural causes due to old age.
Exactly.
In a perfect world, right?
Right.
But it does beg the question of if we're supposed to be socially distancing ourselves and not congregating in places of more than five or six, whatever it is, five people, I think it is now.
Right.
Then that would make things very challenging if you're going to have calling hours or even a funeral. So there's so many questions that I have. Let's start with this first one here.
Absolutely.
What occurs? Is this just all being delayed? And if you do that, you're going to be so overwhelmed when you can finally open things back up to, even if it's a, you know, somewhat of a, you know, even if it's halfway normal situation,
right.
You're going to be so backlogged that you'll never be able to catch up with the people who are passing in present day, you know? Or do you have virtual calling hours? I'm going to let you answer this question because you can probably do a lot better the job than I can. That's why you're here with us.
We're all called for something, aren't we, Gary?
This is very true. Absolutely.
You know, basically, you know, the important thing is right now, I think, just because of the, this is a lot of unknown territory for a lot of people.
Exactly.
And something we've never had to deal with before. And so it's been a very fluid situation. What was going on a week ago and a week before that and a week before that are completely two different stories. And it's something that has evolved and kind of taken its own form, and we've kind of had to adjust to make sure that we're going to be in compliance with the governor's recommendations, the CDC, the Department of Public Health, and basically, you know, really for right now, which is, it's, we're almost kind of doing things a little bit, it feels like, in reverse.
Yeah.
That really what we're doing now is getting the deceased to where they need to be. And in the process, when things are going to be safer and a healthier and sunnier time, we can assist the family and those who are integral parts of that individual's life to get them to where they need to be emotionally. And it's frustrating. It really is. And you know, again, the you know, it's strange. You walk into one of our chapels and you'll see the where the family chairs are organized and they're 6 feet apart from each other. And it's just a very different way of doing things.
Yeah, I mean, I know Alexander, I know you're the president of the Connecticut Funerals Directors Association, but you're also a funeral director at Newington Memorial and Bird Hill Funeral Homes.
Yes.
So then let me put it to you this way, or let me ask it this way. Are you still able to have calling hours, or a wake, if you will, with social distancing, maybe allowing only a certain amount of people into the room, and when they are in the room, they have to be at least six feet, you know, apart from each other?
Exactly.
And then if you do that, obviously, I'm less concerned about going up to the casket. I'm more concerned about, you know, the receiving line.
Exactly. And that's where you need to be very nervous the most, I think.
Yeah. Then it's a two-part question. Number one, are you still able to have this? And if so, I guess there, you know, I'll bring question number two in. If so, does that make for a very long evening, something that could take normally, you know, a couple of hours or so into 5 or 6 hours, you know?
Well, I have to give the media a massive thumbs up for educating the community about the severity of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a pick and choose type of an arrangement that you really need to be aware of all of the potential risks that you're putting yourself,
mm-hmm.
your family, your friends, the funeral home staff, everybody that's involved in this is going to be in some type of a risk factor situation. And, you know, really what we've done, we're finding when a lot of families come in, I would say literally 98% of the families I'm sitting with are coming in with the expectation of that this is going to be very different this time. And
mm-hmm.
what we're going to do is do what we need to get done for right now, being getting the deceased where they need to be, and getting the family is to where they need to be. And so basically, you know, what we've done is we've said basically you can have five people at a time
mm-hmm.
in the building aside from our staff. So I think with that, it doesn't make it a very meaningful situation, I think, at that point when, you know, you're letting one person in, one person out, one person in. People are saying, you know what, we're just going to wait till it's going to be safe to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to, you know, down the road, we'll set something up. And we have a folder that we've kept with every one of these families that we will be in touch with. And like you said, it's probably going to cause a lot of bottlenecking.
Sure.
Up with timing and getting everyone organized as to where they need to be. And you know, I find that people would rather do something that's going to be very meaningful to them, and they can do it just exactly the way they want to do it when it's safe to do it, rather than just doing something piecemeal for now.
Well, right, and I understand anybody can have a memorial or a tribute in their own home when the time is appropriate, whether that's in a month or two. You know, they could certainly send out things, hey, listen, we're having a memorial for, you know, whomever, you know, the deceased. It's going to be at our home. It's going to be for a couple of hours. We're going to share stories and tell, you know, show videos or display photos. And I'd love to hear your favorite story about, you know,
absolutely
Bob
all
or whatever his name is.
And all of the recollection and being able to hug somebody.
Well, right. Exactly. And that will be the time and place for it.
Exactly.
But in the meantime, for the body, you know, to be on display for a public viewing at a wake, you're saying it's five people at a time. So I've got to ask then, typically, let's say, I don't know how many, what's the average amount of people that attends the average wake? Is it 100 people or?
You know, it all depends on the age of the person.
Sure.
Their involvement in the community, what, you know,
good
the
point.
Amount of friends, the size of the family,
good
all
point.
Of those types of things. You've got a lot of logistics.
That's true.
That go into to determining what the size of something's going to be. But you know, it's you run into a lot of you know, basically we're finding that these people are saying that let's just kind of hold off and do this when we can really do this the way we want to do it.
You mean the viewing of the body? Or?
Yes.
Okay. So then, does that body then lay in? Holding?
As far as the viewing of the deceased is would be something that would happen, you know, privately with the family and just close invited guests and keeping that social distancing
okay.
and that number
okay.
Because down to that.
So if it'd be only close or immediate family members and close friends. It wouldn't be open to the public.
Exactly.
I got
exactly.
you now. Okay.
Exactly. That's the smartest way to do it. It's safe. You know, there's no word that a funeral director hates more than the word no.
Yeah, I can imagine.
We are groomed and we are trained to give these people everything they want and they need to guide them and be their trusted advisor.
Yeah.
But which has been great, though, through the media and through our state association that and being trusted advisors, we've said we're not doing you a favor by letting you do exactly what you think should be done as you normally would in better days. This is the way it needs to go for right now, and then we can do something down the road. It's just, it really just disrupts the chain of order of things. And You know, it's like I think about all of the people that are affected by this, and people that work in restaurants and people that work in retail stores.
Oh, my goodness. Without a doubt. Have you received any pushback, though? I know you said you don't like to ever say the word no to somebody who's lost somebody near and dear. But have you encountered anybody that said, I want everybody there. I want to be able to invite anybody who's, you know, this person used to work at five different places, and
right.
he or she knows a bunch of people.
They have 10 kids.
Well, right. I mean, because theoretically, you could go from, you know, a couple of hours with a typical, you know, length of a wake, if it's, you know, 100 people that attend, like you said, it depends on your stature within the community and how old you are and so on and so forth. But let's just go based on that average. That could go from 2 hours to, 4 hours, 5 hours, maybe even, if you're only allowing five people in at a time. And I think people need to
right.
to know what to prepare for.
Well, and they're coming in, and this is where I give my thumbs up to the media and to educating people about the severity of the situation. Is they're coming in understanding that this is wild, how this is going to go.
Right. Typically, you'd be chairs lined up, and obviously
right.
there's going to be no chairs. You've
exactly,
got to go in,
yeah.
view the body, you wish the family, you know, your offerings, and then you leave, you know.
Yeah. Absolutely.
What about funerals? I'm going to bring something up to you, because I only learned this morning.
Okay.
We have a gentleman that works here at one of our sister stations here at Talk of Connecticut, and our sister station, 102.9 The Whale, and he is dressed up because he's going at some point this afternoon. He's got to leave for a little while and attend a funeral.
Okay.
And we all looked at each other. I'm like, and this is this morning. He just walked by us maybe about 2 hours ago.
Right.
And we looked at each other. Why is he all dressed up? And we find out he's going to a funeral. And then we looked at each other. It's just a coincidence that you're on with us this morning. and I'm like, well, we got to ask Alexander this. But I was like, oh, how are you able to attend? We asked him, how are you attending the funeral? And he says, we are attending it in our cars individually with our, and it's very similar to what drive-in theaters do. They've got a very short-range radio wave so that you can catch the sound. Remember Joel Drive-ins?
Where yeah, absolutely.
Right, so you have to tune into a low-end frequency.
Right.
And it's only good for the radius of, like, you know, an eighth of a mile or something like that, real, real small circuit. But that's how these funerals are being done. You tune into a certain frequency that's low circuit, and you can hear the very brief service from your own car. You don't have to get out of it. Have you heard of this?
Yeah, absolutely. What we have done in the past, and this is, again, great that people are coming in prepared and understanding that there's going to be five people standing at that grave, and they're going to be spread out 6 feet apart. And their guests are welcome to come, but they stay in their cars. And so we have a Bose system with a microphone that gives crisp, crystal clear audibility to what's going on. And that way the people that are there can be present and partake in the ritual of the committal and have their service that way. So, I mean, there's that.
That's
there's
nice.
So I've done FaceTime.
Yeah.
I did FaceTime with a family yesterday at a cemetery service where the family was scattered throughout the U.S. And we, three of us with our phones, got a hold of three other family members and held them up. And they were all able to be a part of the entire thing. We had military honors. We had a beautiful Catholic committal service done. It's just wonderful.
You mentioned a Catholic. There's got to be some religion. I think Catholic, it may be one of them. If the body itself needs to be in the church.
Okay. They prefer that.
Yeah.
You know, and as long as a mass is said for that person, I mean, idealistically, they would like the body brought into church. They're not doing masses now.
Right, that's true. Yep, you're right, yeah.
But is, you know, if someone has been cremated, they prefer that the cremated remains are brought into church, and the rites of committal and all of those processes start taking place.
Nice. I was just wondering, do you anticipate, you talked a little while ago about being bottlenecked when this is all, you know, even if some of the restrictions have been, you know, lifted gradually, do you anticipate a backlog at that point in time?
I don't see it being a huge problem, and part of it is that, you know, we eat, sleep, and breathe funeral service at our firm. Okay.
Yep.
And so even though with these constrictions that are placed upon us right now, we get so creative in to do something that is going to give some emotional peace and presence to these folks that, you know, a lot of them, I think, may even just say, hey, we're, you know, they got us through this, that we need to do this. And but at the same time, though, we're still encouraging people to come and say, hey, let's have a memorial gathering at the funeral home. We can do a nice DVD for you. We can play special music. We can have a service here. We can go to a place of worship and have a service. We could, if the person was a veteran, we can go back to the cemetery and let's do military honors there and have another service there. I mean, there's just so many ways to make sure that we're covering every one of these bases for these people.
Excellent. I can't, you're a wealth of knowledge. I'm so happy that we had you on this morning because I had a couple of kind of twisted questions, but they were, I have to be honest, they were asked by listeners in just everyday conversations that we would have on the air.
Right.
And that's actually what precipitated us reaching out to the Funeral Directors Association saying,
right,
you know, let's get these questions answered. So I kind of made some notes and acted more as a liaison between the questions that are being asked by our listeners. So you were very forthright. I can't thank you enough for your answers, and you've answered everything. You're absolutely fantastic. I can't thank you enough for being with us this morning.
It's an honor, Gary, and please, if anything comes up along the way that you have more questions or the situation evolves into something else, please always reach out to CFDA. We're happy to help in any way we can.
That means everything to me, Alexander. Thank you so much.
All right, my friend.
You have a great weekend.
Be well.
You just stay safe, my friend.